This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at markets, I'm Randy Conan. Well, the markets kicked off the week with traders adding risk premium back to those short positions. Zahner Group Ag hedge lead Ted Seifried says it was a risk off type of trading day once again.
It had speculators that were really very short the grains markets on Friday. They were not feeling comfortable about that risk, so they took some risk off, which meant short cover. But now I'm fast forward to the weekend, and nothing, it really wasn't, well, it's not World War III, at least not yet. I don't know, maybe it turns out that way. But certainly the feeling here Monday versus the feeling and the fear on Friday is much different. And those short positions are coming back on. This is more risk on happening, I think, for the large speculator, for the fund component of the grains market.
Ag Resource Company President Dan Boss is expecting a sideways market now as traders wait for fresh news.
I think it's a lot of choppiness. I think we're kind of range bound in both livestock and grains. It's hard to sustain trends, and I don't see any reason why that would change. Maybe we need to get crop in the ground or have some kind of fundamental development, but at least for the moment, looks like the choppiness is here to stay.
Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strauman says without fresh news, those grains will continue to drift.
Again, we're looking for something that would support the market. Mexico did come in and buy 165,000 metric tons of corn, and they are dry. I think they're in some severe drought conditions in certain areas, so hopefully that demand will keep up there. But then you look at the weekly export inspections for soybeans, and they were the lowest in 7 months. So the crush numbers were a record, but below estimates. And you look at the meal and oil markets lower as well. So not a lot of movement in these markets. The funds are short, and they continue to defend that position.
And Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says grain traders are very sensitive to outside market influences.
We continue to see this erosion, steady erosion, especially of new crop corn and beans, because we can't find any kind of low in the wheat market, and we can't find any low either in the crude oil and the energy markets either, which wheat and crude oil have been very responsive and sensitive to the increasing tensions in the Middle East. So that's probably the biggest surprise for me this week so far at this point, Randy, is to see such a degradation in price and a pulling out of geopolitical risk premium in the crude oil and the wheat. So that makes Friday's close that much more important to me.
And Zuzulo says right now it's all about food and fuel.
Exactly right. And I think this is where it goes back to the funds are very sensitive to the food and fuel, in that the currency markets continue to suggest that we are more deflationary than we are inflationary, even though the gold is still sitting near its record high that it's made, several times in the past couple, 3 months. So there's still a big disconnect in these commodity markets when it comes to inflation versus deflation. But if I boil it down to one subject, I think it would be the United States and China and those trade frictions, especially being negative to the food and fuel commodities.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rose said the action on the grains Friday was general risk-off short covering.
I think it's almost the same thing that we had last Friday. Looking at some of these Middle East issues with Iran and Israel back and forth, missile and drone shots here is kind of keeping the trade kind of nervous here, really. I think that was one thing, and I think it's one of these things when you're not certain. It's that old adage, Randy, that you say, when in doubt, get me out.
And that's a look at markets this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
Weeds, disease, planting.
If you grow dry beans, you're dealing with crop management pressures all season long.
Weeds.
And while you're tough enough to handle the pressure, your dry beans aren't. That's why there's BASF. Our dry bean crop protection solutions relieve the pressure with better control, start to finish. Contact your BASF retailer for better dry bean solutions all season long.
Be listening for the Sugar Beet Report every Thursday at 12:50 on most of these Red River Farm Network stations. Each week, we'll talk with industry representatives, agronomists, and extension specialists and get the latest update on the sugar beet crop. The Sugar Beet Report, every Thursday at 12:50 during Agriculture Today. The Sugar Beet Report, brought to you by Provisol from BASF, Amity Technology, Spinade from Belgium Crop Protection, Vive Crop Protection, and Invita from Azotic.
A look at news this week in agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Corn and ethanol groups are responding favorably to the Biden administration's temporary waiver allowing summer use of E15 or unleaded 88 for 2024. Minnesota Corn Growers Association past president Richard Severson says this waiver provides certainty for corn growers and ethanol plants.
The Biden administration had responded to the governor's petition from 8 Midwestern states by allowing and issuing a waiver for E15 in the summertime, except that they had not included 2024. It'll be approved year-round for 2025 and on. So we needed to make sure that we got this waiver for 2024. We've had waivers for 22 and 23 to ensure that consumers in these 8 states have uninterrupted access to E15 or unleaded 88. Depending on how it's marketed at the retailers.
Severson also says this will benefit consumers and retailers.
This also gives the retailers the assurance that they don't need to put special labels on their dispensers or monitor how people fill up their tanks. It means for drivers that they can keep on saving the money that E15 usually saves them, average last year 16 cents to 17 cents a gallon. Statewide.
National Corn Growers Association President Harold Woolley says the E15 waiver is only a temporary solution and that there should be a nationwide approval for E15.
Consumers want E15 marketed as unleaded 88. It's good for the environment, it works great in their cars, and it's usually 10 to 20 cents a gallon cheaper. So it's very important that the retailers are used to selling it now, and so I'm so glad that they aren't going to have to change their pumps and or deny consumers the ability to buy unleaded 88. So very good news all the way around this summer.
In an address to the North American Agricultural Journalists, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack warned about the Farm Bill budget cuts that are being promoted by the Republican Study Committee. A report from this conservative House group said farmers with income of $500,000 or more should not be eligible for farm program payments. No farm should receive more than $40,000 in farm program benefits, and cuts should be made to crop insurance. The RSC proposal would also eliminate USDA trade promotion programs and eventually end the Conservation Reserve Program. Vilsack said 21 of the 29 Republicans on the House Agriculture Committee have signed off on the Republican Study Committee report. At Tuesday's Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee hearing, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven stressed the importance of the U.S. agricultural infrastructure.
It's really important that they understand that when we talk about these farm programs, we're talking about keeping a network of about 16 million people involved in agriculture across this country, both directly and indirectly, a system that is primarily family farms and ranches. And when you look at so many industries that have developed this industry concentration, to have that network is incredibly important in and of itself, but then think of what it means for every single American. Highest quality, lowest cost food supply in the world, with Americans spending less of their disposable income on their food budget than any other developed country in the world.
Hoeven emphasized the importance of farm program funding. This has been a look at news this week in agriculture. I'm Whitney Pittman, reporting Agriculture's Business. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Crop insurance is designed to protect your livelihood, but gaps in your coverage can still leave you exposed. A hail insurance policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services fills those gaps. Unlike multi-peril policies, Crop Hail offers coverage on an acre-by-acre basis and can protect the full value of your crops. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more. Ag Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Heavy rains across much of the Midwest brought improvement to drought conditions along the Mississippi River and Great Lakes regions. The latest U.S. drought monitor shows drought conditions expanding in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, with some spillover into portions of eastern Colorado and western Missouri. Iowa did see a slight improvement in condition, while Minnesota and the Dakotas remained unchanged from a week ago. Well, we had lower temperatures and some moisture over this weekend in much of the Red River Valley. Grand Forks-based National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Graffenauer says we might even see a little bit of snow occasionally, and temperatures, though, should warm up by the end of next week.
Through the end of the week, it will be colder. As we go into the weekend and to next week, we are expecting temperatures to rebound back into the 50s and maybe even near 60 through the weekend and into majority of next week as well.
Well, as farmers wait for this week's cold snap to finish up, Jamestown farmer Ryan Wanzik is eager to get into the field. Aside from the frost, Wanzik says soil conditions look pretty good.
They've been decent, but we've been catching. So we've gotten two rain events here that have been slow soakers the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think it is. We just got one on Monday this week, or was it Tuesday? But I don't think that we could go on a lot of our land, but we could probably go west out by Medina and be able to go on some stuff if we were really wanting to push it. I would say by next week, as soon as the frost comes out completely on a lot of this stuff, we'll be able to go pretty much end-to-end, which we haven't done for 5 or 6 years, it feels like.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, held a webinar through the National Integrated Drought Information System, providing an update on conditions in the north-central U.S. Midwest Climate Hub Director Dennis Toddy says soil temperatures are several days ahead of the normal pace.
From a soil temperature standpoint, soil temperatures actually are in pretty good shape for most of what would be planted. We are at a time when most of the row crop planting can be getting started, except for some of the northern areas. We are at or above 50 degrees Fahrenheit throughout much of this area and south. Still cooler north, but that's not unexpected, given they do run a little bit cooler overall and take a little bit longer to warm up. And the overall lack of, we're not incredibly wet. Our soils are not incredibly wet, which does slow the warm up. And the overall warm winter have all contributed to keeping soil temperatures above where we are.
The Devil's Lake Outlets Management Advisory Committee has voted to allow the lake's outlets to run at full capacity. As a result, the North Dakota Department of Water Resources expects to start running the pumps on both outlets May 1st. Devil's Lake Basin Joint Water Board Manager Jeff Firth says this longer pumping season will provide a better opportunity to make progress towards lowering the lake level. The lake's current elevation as of this past Thursday, 1,449 feet. According to the weekly crop progress report, 7% of the U.S. spring wheat crop is seeded. That's up from 3% last week. Corn planting also at 7% complete. USDA Chief Meteorologist Mark Brusberg says conditions have been good across the Midwest.
Iowa is 4% planted. Normally they would have about 2% planted, and Illinois is 3% planted, Indiana 1% planted.
Only 2% of the soybeans nationwide are in the ground. And that's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
BASF is committed to providing tailor-made solutions. Business rep Nick Salentine says that conversation begins with your ag retailer.
Whoever you buy inputs from, make sure you keep open communication with them on your plans. Gives them a better idea of where guys are headed and the things that they need to stock in, so that when push does come to shove and we get certain crops in the ground, that these guys are ready to be able to supply the need in the market.
Plan smart, grow smart with BASF.
Like that morning cup of coffee, the Red River Farm Network is the best way to start your day.
Good morning, Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network.
You'll get the latest market trends.
Looking at a grain market, we finally saw corn kind of trade its own fundamentals here.
Weather with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Cooler temperatures will be occurring in the northern plains and upper Midwest.
And today's top stories impacting your farm and your bottom line.
We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.